What's up, y'all? Nathan here. This is not going to be a normal Heaven's Devils podcast. This is a preview pod for the massive Brentford match on Tuesday. We will be back with a more regular pod and a special guest and do a normal pod. We'll talk about the recent matches. We'll have the guest on Thursday morning. But for now, we wanted to get this out. We have a chat with the amazing Billy the Bee from the Beesada podcast to get you all ready for the cup tie against Brentford. So without further ado, let's get into it. Let's go, Billy the Bee. Let's go. So we go behind enemy lines to chat with maybe the most famous Brentford fan in the world, one of the great pollinators of the world, William the Bee Grant, or known informally as Billy the Bee. Welcome to the pod, Billy the Bee. Welcome to the pod, Billy.
Welcome, Billy.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for inviting me onto the heavens. Heavens. I feel like I'm in heaven at the moment now, you guys. You know what I mean? Which is all good.
So, yeah, man. Really? I think if most people saw us at the end of their life, they'd think what they'd done wrong.
Yeah, which is all good, actually. Yeah.
Hey, you're wearing a top, Billy. I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
No. I mean, no. A top, as in like colors, as we say, colors.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I thought we were getting a shirtless Billy.
Yeah. I thought you were trying to get in the OnlyFans game before they changed over.
No. Only Tango. And if you've got to do your football research in England, Tango is the man without the top. You know what I'm saying? You must have heard Tango, the Sheffield Wednesday fan, the guy with the big belly. Every single game doesn't wear a shirt. 20 years, he's got literally every game he's been to, he doesn't wear a shirt. And then as soon as the game's finished, he puts his shirt back on and then he just goes home, you know? If you Google Tango or Tango, yeah, Sheffield Wednesday, you'll see him. He's famous. He's a good guy. You know, he looks nice. Like the, and I'm going to say this, you know, you're recording, this is not, you know, it's not him at all, but people, yeah, stereotype football hooligans as, mm-hmm, skinhead, tattoos, fat belly, you know, yeah, and he's got that archetypal look, so he gets a lot of grief and a lot of problems, you know, with people. But actually, if you meet him and chat to him, he's actually the exact opposite. So, you know what I'm saying? Oh. So as I always say, never judge a book by its cover. You've got to always read it first and see what it's like.
Oh, well, that's why he's smart to take the cover off each game.
That's right.
That's right.
Interesting, because, yeah, I know that we're about a million miles away from each, yeah, other at the moment now, but we're talking, right, about a sport which is very close to both of our hearts. And I was actually watching a sport which is probably nearer to you than us. Actually, yesterday I was actually watching Seattle Sounders playing the New England Revolution, like, you know, because I do.
Oh,
like,
let's go.
Nice.
And you have a lot of American ties too, Billy, right?
You know what I'm saying?
You have a lot of American ties. You used to live here in New York City, right?
I lived in Miami, I lived in Boston, I lived in New York as well, up in, you know, up in there, 240th Street. I used to get the A train all the time up to there to go home, the A train or the number one train, depending on which one it was, up to New, nice, York City. I lived there for a while. I traveled all around America, and I've been there every year, probably since the early 80s, because my family live out there, and they were living in, well, Miami. At the time, they'd moved up to Tallahassee now as well. So I literally go out there every year. I used to be there, like I said, 6 months a year. So I know America pretty well. And that's why, like I said to you, MLS, American football, baseball, basketball, all these sports as well.
I love
pretty
it.
Well, you know, but, you know, luck for me, it's not about talking about them American sports, because them Americans should be looking at what we're doing over here now.
It's about the English sports now, isn't it?
That's right. Yes. It is, man. The Premier League has just taken off here. League Two for us, not so much. Hasn't taken off in America the same way that the Premier League has. But yeah. But we're having a blast, man. Following the sport, watching the sport, getting to know the people involved. It's been so much fun. And one of those people involved is you, Billy the Bee. We are buzzing to meet you. That's the last time I'll use a terrible pun, I promise.
No, thanks. Tell you something. I'm just going to say just quickly, because, and I'm not, and this is just for all Forest Green fans out there, and just for people watching football. For me, right, I've been, as you know, supporting this team for 40-odd years, and most of the time I've supported them, I've literally been in the league that you've been in or the one above that. And probably for about 34 of those years, I've been in those leagues. I know them really well. I know all the teams in the Accrington Stanleys and your Southends and your Scunthorpes, you know, and your Newport. I've been there. I've been to all those places. And I tell you something, I loved it. I loved it down there. The football at times was terrible, you know, but it's about you going to football. It's about you watching your game. It's about being fans who are not glory hunters. They're going there to watch the football and enjoy themselves. So at the end of the day, I ain't got no problems people supporting whatever team they're supporting out there, because it's just about, you know, enjoying your team. And if you get a rise eventually, like Forest Green, obviously risen up the ranks, and you start doing, you know, you start doing better, that's a big buzz for fans, you know, for you to win a big match or to go to the playoff semi-final. That's a big buzz for you, you know, and you know, probably in the same way you go to Chelsea and they play teams and they half of them can't even be bothered to turn up for finals because they've been to so many. And I can't get my head around that, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's interesting because I've actually just, there's this podcast that's come out just today, which I was really, really, you know, like when you have a podcast which you're so happy that you listen to, but then all of a sudden somebody actually invites you on it, you think, wow. And this podcast has had people like Noel Gallagher on it. You know, it's had Norman Jay, the DJ. It's kind of had DJs, kind of Mo Gilligan, the comedian, sort of kind of lots of sort of kind of, you know, footballers, ex-footballers. Bob Wilson's been on it, you know, and I've listened to like this and I'm thinking, wicked. All of a sudden, Theo Delaney asked me on to his Life Goals podcast. Definitely check that out. It's called Life Goals by Theo Delaney. And there's some really, really interesting ones on there. And I started talking about the early days of Brentford on there, about when I was watching Brentford in the third tier, you know, watching terrible games and the games you used to go to and stuff like that, and what it's all about. And to me, that's where football is really it's at. You know, if you get the rise after that and we're in the Premier League, that's great. But it's not all about being in the Premier League for us. It's for me, it's about where you come from, because you've got to know where you've come from to know where you're going to, like, you know what I'm saying? And it's the rise is important. It's not great. You know, a lot of people jump aboard when you're at the top. But for me, it's much more fun if you've started at the bottom and you've carried all the way through from the bottom all the way up.
Oh, that's beautifully put. And I saw an incredible photo just the other day. One of the Brentford fans posted like an away day at Exeter City. Maybe it was you, I don't know. But like away day at Exeter City back when you were in League 2, I think in 2008. And you're exactly right, man. We love, ever since we started following Forest Green, we just love this league. We love the community. It just feels like a family. It really feels like you're a part of it too. It feels like you're a part of the club in a way that I don't know that you get the same feeling of some of these giant clubs in the Premier League. It's a beautiful thing. We have had a blast watching it. And you mentioned, by the way, your podcast. I forgot to intro that. So Billy the Bee also runs the Besotted podcast, a brilliant podcast about Brentford. Our good friend Laurie Martin was just on. So look, I'm not even a Brentford fan and I listen to it occasionally. That's how good it is. So Billy, I hear you're looking a sponsor for the Besotted podcast. Is that right?
Listen, if anyone wants to support us, to help us to continue doing it, we pump out podcasts, 3 podcasts a week, maybe even more if we want to as well. They're a lot of fun for us. We do one straight after the match, so we stick a microphone under people's noses on the terraces. So on the terraces of Charlton, we stuck microphone under people's noses. And then I caught our director of football as well. I was chasing him up the street, sticking a microphone up his nose and the owner as well, which is quite funny. So check this out, the post-match podcast after the Charlton game. And then we had a weekend review, which is a new podcast, which we started doing on Sundays out on Monday morning, which is quite a short snapshot, just look back at the game at the weekend or anything else. And then we do the big podcast on the Wednesday night where we go down the pub, as we do. We've done it for like 6 years now, literally go down the pub, 4 or 5 of us, and we basically drink for 2 hours. And then we think, oh no, we better press the button and record. And then we start recording. And then we realize that we've actually been recorded for about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and it's like really long. And then we go, oh no, we better start recording. And then I push the button and we stop recording. And then I have to go home on the train, which takes about an hour and a half, and then edit the podcast at about 1 o'clock in the morning. So I normally get to bed about 4 in the morning, but I'm quite good at editing podcasts under the influence of a few beers. Let's just put it
that's
that
the
way.
Most fun. That's the most fun.
That was the genesis of this podcast too, you know, just
exactly a few too many beers. Exactly. so anyway, Sham and I are happy to be a sponsor. Billy, we can't pay you money, but we can offer, what can we offer him, Sham?
Free
manscaping materials, Billy, because I forgot to mention, in addition to running a really bad, ill-informed podcast about the Forest Green Rovers, we also provide manscaping services, Billy.
No, manscaping is out. Out the manscaping. We've had that, and we've had to try and eject it We weren't quite sure how we can do it, but we just thought, hold on a second. Our listeners are sitting there cringing, thinking, oh, God, this is going to hurt, isn't it?
Yeah, it's even worse for us because we're third-party manscapers as well. Like, people usually want to bring a third party in.
I heard on your recent podcast that you were trying to get rid of the manscaping ads. I hear you. It's so funny when you hear them on podcasts. Like, they come out of nowhere.
It's very cringe.
And we're all cringing. But yeah, you mentioned it. I'm a little disappointed you're not speaking to us from the Globe right now. I feel like you conduct all your serious business at the Globe. Should we take this as a sign of disrespect? You're not at the pub right now?
To be fair, it is 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and I've had a very busy morning, to be fair, but and the Globe is an hour and a half from my house. But, you know, next time, if you warn me, like, you know, I'll go there for breakfast and I'll keep you happy.
Beautiful. Let's get to a little bit of football. Oh, yeah. Let's talk.
Oh, yeah.
Bradford. Brentwood? Wait, what's the name of this club again?
I don't know. I'll tell you something. Tell you what the good thing is, because you may joke, because everyone does call us Bradford, Brentwood, by the way, you know, if you listen in England, it's fine. But, you know, Brentwood is basically on the opposite side of London from Brentford. They don't have a football team, or if they do, actually, I think they've got a football team, which is like in the sort of 17th tier or something like that. And it's got a forest, which is actually quite famous. Brentwood Forest, I think it's got a forest down there. And it's got nothing to do with us at all. So Bradford is a city which is up north, which is near Leeds United. You know, it's up north. So people, when you say, that's what Brentford, they go, oh, yeah, I'm Bradford. Are you Brentwood? Like, you know, yes, we are Brentford. So now the fact we are in the Premier League and they're actually broadcasting our match around the world, at least people hopefully know where we are and who we are. But saying that, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, don't know where Forest Green is. You know, even for me, I mean, I have to find out and say, what is Forest Green? Nottingham Forest? Are they green? And I thought they played in red. So I think
most forests are green.
You probably have the same problem that we have. And it'll probably take you about another 40 years before people actually recognize you. You have to raise up a few levels, like, you know.
So it's been 74 years, I think, since Brentford has been in the Premier League. Years before you were even Billy the Larva. Years before a twinkle in your mother Queen Bee's eye. So what did it mean to you to get promoted to the Premier League, Billy?
It was brilliant. It was bizarre. You know, and I'm not holding it, I'm not playing it down, but it was bizarre because, you know, if you've been, you know, wallowing around in the third tier for most of your life, you know, and you're not a club that is kind of, you know, we've got an owner and he's got some money, but he's not like, you know, Abramovich, you know, or kind of one of these guys.
Not an oligarch,
so you're thinking, listen, you know, we'll be cool, but you never think you're actually going to get the Premier League. You get the Championship and then all of a sudden you start competing and also we start to like the Championship as well. It's a really good league. There's some really good teams in there. There's some really good competitions. You can never be guaranteed that you're going to win a game, basically. You know, Manchester City, pretty much, you know, okay, they've had a few flusters recently, but they, you know, if you've got a country buying a team, you know, and they're able to just kind of buy players, whatever they want, you know, they're going to be pretty much guaranteed to do what they want, you know, in that league. Right. And then you've got one country, which is, you know, the Qatar, up against another country, which is Russia, you know what I'm saying? Just buying. Of course, it's like country battles, like, you know what I'm saying? And you can't, it's going to be hard to compete against that. But in the Championship, you don't get that as much. Brentford were very lucky that we had this long-term plan with our owner, who is a Brentford fan, and he starts, you know, he supported them when he was a kid. He used to bunk off school to go and support them, and he puts money behind them. And he was just like, listen, you know, I have a plan, which is I'm going to put money in. I'm going to, not Abramovich type money, but just money in to change, to make sure there's no buckets outside the club, which there was for years. You know, we were literally kind of like day to day buckets outside the club. You know, one of our players, we had to buy a player. We couldn't buy any players. So we actually won a competition, but Coca-Cola ran this competition, which allowed us some money to buy a player. And he was called the Coca-Cola Kid. You know, that's how terrible.
That's on somebody's resume then. I was the Coca-Cola Kid.
That's right.
So we were terrible, but we got better and we got better and we got better. But within confines, you know, of doing it. And the reason that we do it, if you don't know it, our owner has got a company which basically makes lots of money. from analyzing information around the world. He's a very clever person with PhDs or whatever else he's got, like, you know, and he just knows statistical knowledge and he applies it to sport, and then he basically plays a numbers game and he uses it to make himself money, but more to the point, will make very other people who kind of consult into him a lot of money. So that's what he does. And he just said, tell you what I'm going to do. I want to buy the football club, and I'm going to use the knowledge I've got to find players that no one else knows about or likes or has any confidence in, and I'll get them in, and then we'll scrub them up a little bit, and then we'll put them out there and make them better, and then we'll either get promoted or we'll sell them on. And that's what he's done. So in the last 10 years, that's what we've done.
We made
a few mistakes, but in general, it's worked for us, and it's now in effect, because people laughed at us when we did it because we kept selling players. You'll never go up if you sell. But we kept on selling, getting better players, and eventually, and coming back to your question beforehand, bang, we hit the Premier League, which even I didn't think that we were going to reach. And that's why I say to you, it's really surreal and really bizarre, because I'm very happy that we're there. And it's so proud that we're here. And if you're, you know, listening back and talking on that life goals, I can almost like spew out my whole life of what I did back in the day and the games that I went to and how terrible they are, but how fun it was, because that's led to where we are now. And and walking down the road with my daughter, Bella, who comes to all the games with me, home and away, she's only 12 years old, and all my friends and everything like that, just going in that stadium, knowing that all of them had been through the same journey that I have. We're now in the Premier League playing against Arsenal, whose fans moan if they finish below sixth place. You know what I'm saying? And then we beat them. It was poetry in motion.
It's been an incredible rise. I mean, some brilliant moves, finding gems, developing them. You know, Benham, fellow American Ted Knutson, and then the man who took it to the next level, Phil Giles. It's just been a wonderful and fascinating thing to watch you guys. And as Forest Green Rovers, I think we have a lot of similarities to that model, and it's something I hope we can emulate. But anyway, let's move to the cup.
We can't do it today. We'd love to talk.
So Billy, you know, strange for us Americans. You know, we're dumb Americans, and it's just strange, confusing emotions about the Carabao Cup. That's like the magic of it for us. Like, nobody cares, or at least we don't care if we lose. But if we win, it's just like so fun. It's like a no-risk competition to us. Not really anything on the line. So as a foreigner, you know, I can't really understand, other than making some, you know, for some incredible away day memories, if you can actually travel. Shout out to the 550 FGR supporters who are lucky enough to be traveling there. But basically, we'll be ecstatic if we beat you. If we lose, at least Sham and I, you know, we won't care, because our focus is get promoted through the league. But why should we care, Billy? Can you educate us? Explain the magic of the Carabao Cup to a couple of dumb, multi-use plastic American fans. What's the point of this competition, Billy?
So what I'm going to say, first of all, is because you talk about the magic of the cup, you've got traveling 550 FGR fans. Fair play to you. I'll respect any fan that is going to be traveling. So check out besotted.com, because we have got a preview of the match, which is up already. Okay. And it's up there on besotted.com, a Forest Green preview. And it's got basically an interview with one of your local BBC reporters,
Billy Hunt.
And it's got
our man, Billy Hunt.
Podcast, that's right. And it's got the podcasts on there as well, so you can check it all out. But most importantly, at the bottom, it's got a pub crawl ride. So basically, the pubs in Brentford that you want to go to, right, they're all on there. So you can check them out, besotted.com. You'll know everywhere that you need to go to. So you're talking about the magic of the cup. The magic of the pub cup is you can have away days, so you can find out exactly where you can drink in Brentford for the fans, because it's about the fans and having a bit of a laugh. So check that out. Yeah. Food places, drink places. Like I said, you come to our place, which is the Globe, if you want to go to other places, might be, you know, closer to like the Express Tavern or the one over the eight, you know, or the Nelson. There's loads of places for you to go, so check them out. So that's one bit of magic for the cup. The other thing I will say about this cup, which is I'd always traditionally call it again the League Cup. I keep coming back to this this Life Goals podcast, because I actually opened it up talking about the first goal I talk about, because you talk about goals that actually bring back memories for you. And the first goal I talked about was actually in the League Cup, which is called the Milk Cup in the day. And it was in the days when we were really, really, really terrible. And we never drew anybody big. But within a few years of me supporting Brentford, all of a sudden out came the hat, was probably the best Liverpool team ever. And they came out the hat in this cup, and they came down to visit us at Brentford. And it was still the biggest crowd at Griffin Park that I have ever been to, because it's bigger than the stadium now. So the old Griffin Park At that time, this crowd was about 17,800. Okay, and that's official. That's the official crowd. Wow. Forgetting about that, but they actually opened the gates and let in probably about 2,000 or 3,000 people in because there's so many people queuing up. So that was the early days of the cup. Now that cup, this cup, that League Cup, was a massive cup. Everyone loved it. It was the cup that maybe you might be able to win over the FA Cup. Maybe the FA Cup was great because it had non-league teams, but this cup had only league teams in it as well. And it was very, 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 you know, it's a distinguished cup. But what's happened is over the years, with Champions League and all this coming in, it's just basically, it's just obliterated the domestic cups now because it's become all about money. A lot of teams stop fielding strengthened teams. Teams always fielded a strengthened side. They came down to Brentford and we had Ian Rush and, you know, all these people, all the old school, proper, hardcore, Kenny Dalglish, all them lot were playing down at Brentford, right? And we were in the third division and we were rubbish as well. Like, you know, so that's been gone. You know, it's a real shame. And even Brentford started to field, like, you know, weakened sides for this cup from, you know, 2011, 2012. You know, we'd be in the third tier. But because we needed to go up, we'd be fielding, like, academy team players. Yeah. And the fans actually get really upset about it because we were thinking, look, this is not right. You know, because we football fans and we just want to go and win. And why are we doing this? So there's a balance up between how they do it. At the moment now, teams who have got sort of quite stronger squads can field a sort of kind of almost like a B plus team or an A minus team. And I think that's what Brentford are going to be doing. We're going to be building a B plus team, which is some first teamers and some people from our B team, some people on, you know, bench team players mixing up in there. At the end of the day, the cup is a cup. And if you win a cup game, it's fabulous. Last year, we got to the semi-final of this cup by fielding B plus players, you know what I'm saying? So it can be done. So what I'll say to you out there is that forget what everybody says, forget what the pundits say, whatever it says. All it is about is winning a cup game. And when two teams go out there, you know, our B team goes and plays Hendon and we're going to be playing Fisher United soon in the London Senior Cup. That's important to them. They're going to want to go out and win that. Doesn't matter what cup it is. So the cups are important. So fans, go out there, enjoy your day. And fingers crossed, if you get the result, that's fair play to you. And, you know, if we get the result, we'll be happy and we move on.
Let's go. So, and Billy, so you mentioned, and I think from our perspective as the little guys, this is a big, I mean, it's a massive deal. Bringing, for us, for a tiny little club like us, bringing 550 fans to Brentford Community Stadium is huge. So it's a big deal to us for Forest Green, but is it a big deal to you now that you're, you know, you guys are the big dogs, you're in the Premier League? From the fan perspective at Brentford, do you guys care about this match?
I'm going to be honest with you. It's not I don't care about Forest Green or Rovers at all. If anything, I think a lot of fans are gutted it's not at your stadium because we could have ticked off a new stadium for us.
Yeah.
The highest stadium in the land. We beat out West Brom on that one.
I would have been there. Those definitely, you know what I'm saying? It'd be great. And with my daughter off from school as well, because it's a Wednesday night, we would have been bang straight down there, probably stayed overnight and then come back again. But for it being at home, for us, it's another opportunity for us to go and watch another game in our new stadium. But also what it is, it's another opportunity, and this sounds really sort of like, you know, on the coaching team, this is what something that they would say, for us to try out some new players, okay? So we've got players who, like, say, for example, we've got a player called Visa, who we've just signed from Lorient. And I make a laugh, because normally say players from Lorient, which is Leighton Orient, and not this is confusing for us. So we just signed him from Lorient for like £10 million or something like that.
Yeah.
And he came on for about 5 minutes on Saturday. And you can see he's not match fit. So we believe that he's going to get a run out on Saturday. We've just signed a new goalkeeper. I think his name's Fernandez, a new Spanish goalkeeper. We've just signed him as well. So we're not going to play Raya, our regular goalkeeper. We'll sign him, but we want to see what he's like. You know, we've got, you know, a number of players who are, you know, coming back from injury, you know, who may want to go ahead and who may want to play and get themselves some fitness. So this will be a good tryout to see these players who are maybe either on the fringes, but get them into the game, because sometimes these players really surprise us. You know, a lot of these players, they're not rubbish, you know, they're decent players, you know, they're really good players. So it's seeing how they fit in, because at some stage they're going to have to flip into the first team. So you don't want them to flip into the first team cold. So this provides a really good opportunity for us to do that. So I'm actually really looking forward to playing this game, to seeing how these players come out against experienced players like your team, who are obviously top of the league. So they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And they've been on a bit of a roll.
We've been on fire. 5 wins in a row. Any chance we see Ethan Pinnock, or no chance at all? We see our old boy.
One of those first teamers that makes it.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, again, Ethan Pinnock, I actually saw Ethan Pinnick before you guys saw Ethan Pinnick. I saw Ethan Pinnick play for Dulwich Hamlet, because I'll go and see the Hamlet play as well, because I like them. Very good side, great non-league side. In the Conference South now, but I used to watch them when they were in the Isthmian League, when every year they used to get in the playoff final and lose, kind of like Brentford. I actually thought it was me, because I've seen Brentford lose 9 times in the playoffs when they got this, before they got this last one, and then I've seen Dulwich Hamlet lose twice in the playoff final, and I thought twice in the playoff final, and I thought it was me, you know, when it came to the third one. I thought, I better notice it, because they might lose again. But he played in the playoff final, East Thurrock versus Dulwich Hamlet at East Thurrock. And East Thurrock went 3-0 up by halftime. And the ball came into the middle, header into the goal 3 times. See, he was playing central defender. So I don't know if it was his fault himself or if it was his partner. But between them, they didn't do a very good job of keeping the East Thurrock players out. But so East Thurrock went up, Dulwich Hamlet stayed down. He left and went to Forest Green after that, and then East Thurrock got relegated a few seasons afterwards. He's a great player and he's great for you. I think that you will see him. So even if he doesn't play, I think that he'll come out on the pitch because he'll do the manners thing. Because the first thing he did when he made his first ever game for Brentford, he played against AFC Wimbledon in a friendly. And I went down the pitch afterwards because I was chatting with the director of football and everything like that. And he came over and said, right, Ethan, said, yeah, man. I used to watch you play at Dulwich Hamlet. And he was really confused. I started to throw a few names at him of characters who were at the Hamlet. He's like, going, yeah, man, you know the Hamlet. I was like, yeah, man, I know the Hamlet. So I believe that, for the respect for you guys, Forest Green, he will be there in some capacity. You know, the pitch today, they might do a surprise and they might put him on the bench, because we do that sometimes where we put players on the bench and then we bring them off. But I don't know the reason why we bring, you know, him off and risk him. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to get a match against Villa on Saturday. So, but you I can almost guarantee that you will see him in some capacity on Tuesday night. Great player.
That's awesome. And all right, so we're gonna start to close out here, but I wanna talk, you mentioned her before. I wanna talk about your number one match day partner, your daughter, Bella. You know, Brentford, England, you know, whoever's playing, where, you know, wherever they're playing, at the ends of the earth, you always have your sidekick right beside you. Or maybe you're her sidekick. I don't know. But Billy, tell us about that special relationship you have with your daughter and what football means to you both.
No, listen, it's just, I tell you something, it's one of those things that just grew up and it's probably naturally grown up. I didn't actually really think it's going to happen, because, you know, she went to her first game, she's 5 months, at Bradford City away, not Brentford, Bradford, by the way, Bradford City away. Right? And she came 5 months old, so there's my mum, me, my wife and her, and my son, Elias, who is the one that I was taking to football all the time. I took him everywhere, you know, home and away, all over the country, you know, all over Europe as well. I used to take him. Mm-hmm. And he used to come because he was quite, you know, he just used to come with me. He's actually autistic. He's very high functioning, and he's quite lively. So what I found is, when I took him to football, because football was such an environment, he used to actually like it, because it was kind of a crazy environment where he could just do what he wanted to and run around on the terraces. So it was actually kind of a bit of a kind of like a let go for me as a dad, sort of kind of taking him, and he can go out and just kind of do what he wanted to. So like I said to you, he's been literally everywhere, from Notts County to Grimsby to Preston to, you know, to Leipzig in Germany to,
of the Johnny Cash song
in Germany. You know? You know, we even turned up in Miami one time, and then we saw that Jamaica had beaten America in the Gold Cup. Yeah. and they were playing Mexico, Jamaica, and I said to my missus, said, you fancy going up to Philadelphia? She said, no, I did. So we drove up to Philly from Miami.
Oh, wow.
To see Jamaica play Mexico in the Gold Cup, and with my son and Bella, who was tiny still then. And then we drove back down again, as you do on the game. Like, you know, so listen, that is what kind of my world. But Bella was always kind of sort of a bit of a hanger on her, because Elias was the one that always went to football. But she'd come along, she'd been to enough games, but, you know, anytime Brentford got promoted, no, she couldn't come because she's too long. Elias was there. Then she'd come afterwards and come to the pub afterwards to just hang out. And then afterwards she got, and then Elias sort of said to me afterwards, he got older, he said, Daddy, I don't really like football. I was like, oh, okay, it's cool. She goes, but Bella seems to really like it, so she can go with you now. I had a really posh voice like that. I'm like, oh, right then. So all of a sudden she's just like, yeah. So she's just starting to go. And then she said to me about 3 seasons ago, I goes, I want to go home and away. every game.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
That's awesome. It's inspiring, and you have a beautiful relationship to see, Billy. And it's a wonderful reminder that football, you know, more than anything, is about, you know, building memories with the people you love. And your pictures with Bella are just a constant reminder of that. It's an awesome thing to see, Billy. Billy, just...
Good girl.
Just two more questions, Billy, and then we'll get out of here. So, first question, the question that's on everyone's mind, Billy, what color is your seat in the new stadium?
That's a question. This is a really good question.
Yeah.
I've got no idea. I actually have no idea. And if you know, there's a whole story because our stadium, right, Brentford should really have white seats. That's how it works out, okay? You can see it. And when the planes fly over, you'll see it. It's a big sign to Brentford. And you know, bang, it's red and white. But for some reason, the designers decided they're going to go for some multicolored, ridiculous. Yeah. Again, the interesting is that when I saw that, the design, the we went to the meetings about this was about 4 years ago, and they showed us the slides of the stadium, and they said, "Oh, these are the seats," and they looked at them, and I said, "Oh, okay, that's cool. The stadium looks really cool. You know, so you're gonna put the red and white seats in as well?" They, "Oh, no, that's the colours of the seats." I went, "Are you joking, are you?" They said, "No, that's the colour. That's the colour of the seats." I said, "Why is that then?" They said, "Oh, well, there's reasons for it." I said, "And I went, that looks like Bradford City, right?" I actually said at the time, I said Bradford. So maybe that's the reason why people call us Bradford, because we've got these like yellow and purple seats in our stadium, like, you know, so they're confusing us, like, you know. So yeah, so it's caused a bit of a beef with the fans. But now we've got the stadium, people are saying about it a bit less. And I wasn't particularly happy, but I'm not being funny. It's not going to be the biggest thing I'm going to gripe about, because there's bigger things to gripe about. So listen, you mentioned not particularly happy about it, but you get used to it. I've now got used to it. But the fact is that we actually don't sit in our seats, because we're in the end behind the goal, even though the seats are there. Mm. We used to stand on the terraces the whole time. Uh-huh. And we just said, if we're going to go in this end behind the goal, we're going to be standing. And the club's sort of like, okay, we're not officially meant to do that. Okay, that's fine. So we stand, and that end is really the standing end. So I've been standing in this seat, which means I actually have got no idea what colour it is. So
I couldn't even get you with the joke question. But yeah, I know. As a Fulham follower, it was great fun watching, you know, Fulham fans, you know, poke fun at the new, you know, Lego Stadium. But it looks like a beautiful, beautiful stadium. And like you said, the atmosphere was unbelievable. Unbelievable in that Arsenal game. Okay, last one here, Billy. Score prediction. What do you got for us?
I've said it's going to be 1-1, and we're going to win 11-10 on penalties.
Oh, well, I hope that it's 1-1, because there's no way you win on penalties if we go to penalties, because we have the best penalty stopper in the game in Lewis Thomas, our cup keeper.
Yes.
He's actually going to,
we call him Gianluigi Buffon, because that's how good he is.
That's right, Gianluigi Buffon. So if it goes to penalties, I'm sorry, Billy, but we got the edge here. We got the best penalty stopper in the game. I like that, though. All right, we'll take it. We'll take a 1-1 draw, and we'll go to penalties. I love it.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, you probably do, because I have got, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've got no idea what our goalkeeper, who's playing tomorrow, is like.
Right.
I know nothing about him at all.
Well, Billy, the president...
He played with Messi, apparently. He might have even saved a penalty for Messi, or he did something with Messi anyway. Or maybe he got Messi with Messi. I don't know. So,
I love it.
It might have been on FIFA.
Well, Billy, the president of Brentford B Nation, or as I've coined, Pollination. Thank you so much for coming on, Billy. Good luck this season. I hope you guys stay up, man. Terrible luck on Tuesday, but you know, I hope you get eight goals on Tuesday. Or I really hope it's the 1-1 draw, like you said, and we go to penalties. That would be so fun. But Billy, we're really rooting for you the rest of the season to stay up. Thank you so much for coming, man. Find him on Twitter at BillyTheB99. Find the pod at BSodded on Twitter or wherever you get your podcasts. The BSodded podcast brought to you by Heaven's Devil's Manscaping. Billy. Thank you so much for coming on.
Don't forget, folks, like Billy had mentioned, bsodded.com with two E's and two T's. You get all your pub information for the match tomorrow.
Most importantly, Four Screen Rovers fans, check that out to see where you're going to go before the game. That's what makes these cup away days so fun. Billy, thank you so much, man. Thank you, brother.
Thanks for inviting us on. Thank you. Yeah, it's all good, man. And good luck for the rest of the season, the FGR. Massive. Are they massive? Are you massive? I've got no idea.
We are massive, Billy.
That's what I thought. I thought I'd drop that in there.
Thank you, Billy.
Appreciate it, man. Cheers.